My name is Rick. I'm the Community Outreach Worship Pastor. Before I begin sharing with you this morning, I've got just a quick announcement. I want to introduce to you somebody. Come on here, Rachel. Everybody say, hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Welcome, Rachel. We're so glad you're here. Rachel has agreed to do an internship with us this summer. So she's from Crossroads, and it's part of her education requirement. So she's going to be spending some time with me, and I'm sure you've already started praying about that right now. But she's going to learn kind of behind the scenes what worship ministry is all about, and she's also going to be participating in putting together services and at least leading once a month to get me off the stage. I know some of you have been praying about that for years. So she's going to be leading worship, and we have great resources here, great talent, so we're so excited. And she brings a whole set of skills. She plays every instrument known to man, and she's got a great heart, and we're just going to pray for her and just kind of set the tone for this summer. I'm excited to work with you and these guys. And I'm going to have the worship team just come on up. We're going to lay hands. If you could just extend your hand toward Rachel as well, let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for washing us white as snow, and we thank you for the message and hope that the gospel gives. Lord, we're so thankful that you've blessed Rachel with so many gifts, and we pray that this summer will be an experience that she'll be able to seek you and to find out where you want her to go and where you want her to serve. And we pray that we as a congregation will rally around her and to help meet her needs as well. We're so excited for just what you do through people and the ability of how you put everything together, even with just what we do here through worship ministry. It's not about individuals. It's about what happens when we come together. I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and we just ask you to bless Rachel for this summer and bless us as a congregation, and it's through your son that we pray. Amen. Let's give her a hand, shall we? And well, last week, Jeff talked about the wisdom in provisions and how God provides for us and the wisdom in that, and he talked a lot about passages of Scripture. But he reviewed some of the things that a preacher, David Platt, said, and I just want to review that. You know, when it comes to stuff, we struggle with stuff, time, treasure, and the works. And so remember, David said this, the more you have seems to be the more you want, right? The more you have, the more people will come after what you have. The more you have, the more you realize it doesn't meet your real needs. The more you have, the more you have to worry about what you have. The more you have, I like this one, the more you have to lose. The more you have, the more you will leave behind. Then he left one of these proverbs. I love Proverbs 37-9. And this is very similar to what Christ teaches us in that model prayer. But the writer of Proverbs says this, two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. I love that. So, Lord, just give me enough to maintain and sustain my faith. So when you call me then to give, I have to lean upon you as my God. Not my wealth, as my God, little g. So when I have what I need, I can still bless others. God, then you will be the one who's glorified and not me. Today we're going to be talking about investing. And I hope you all brought your portfolios with you. I'm sure you got the email about that. So we're going to be reviewing each of your stock portfolios here as we talk. No, actually we're going to be talking about a different type of investing. Where do you invest? What do you invest in? You know, they used to say, you know, if you look at your checkbook, that's where your heart is. But how many, I asked this at the last service, how many actually use a checkbook and use the ledger anymore? Raise your hands. Amazing how many first service were more than this. But we're using Quicken now, right? And software and online software that kind of tells really where our heart is. That miscellaneous category in mind, if I had that under hat, I'd have a lot more money. You know, and I assign everything that miscellaneous category. But where do you invest? What do you put your heart and soul into? Why that? When did you come up with that decision? Is there something, although that may be good, is there something better that you can invest with? Or are you even investing your time and treasures at all? Or are you so protective and worried about that you do not have enough? You just can't do anything at this time. When I get more back on my feet, Lord, then I'll be able to give and invest. And I say that because I've used that excuse, especially when in the earlier years when we were married, when times were really tough. It was like God got the leftovers, you know, until I can get enough, God, then I'll give to you. Well, Matthew 6 is where our passage is from today. And just a quick review. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he teaches us a lot about what the kingdom is. And we've reviewed a lot of this during our He Changed Everything series, but I just want to review that. In the first part of chapter 6, Jesus gives us that model prayer. He encourages us and reminds us that when we pray to God, we don't bring him our needs first. We acknowledge who he is. Remember, know who you're talking to before you come to him with your needs. And he also teaches us about fasting, and he reminds us that fasting should point to God and not the one fasting. What kills me is a couple weeks ago, I saw somebody complaining about how hard it was for them to fast, broadcast all over Facebook. Fasting is not about you. Fasting is about between you and God, and it should be kept that way. And then he concludes with, what is our motive of doing good deeds, of doing good things for other people? Is it to draw attention to yourself or draw attention to God? Understanding and being careful with our motives. So right after that, verse 19 to 21 is what we're going to look at today. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Jesus says this, Do not store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just three simple verses. But we pray that in some way you will give us a clear understanding of knowing the difference between what storing up treasures on earth and what storing up treasures in heaven is really about, and what the issue is, be in our heart. Speak to us today as we learn from your word, but we ask you especially to give us ways this week to put these principles into practice. Challenge us. Give us situations that we need to rely on you in order for them to take place. It's through your Son that we pray. Amen. So what does Jesus mean when he says, store up your treasures in heaven? What's the difference between the two? Remember, Jeff reminded us last week that the Bible really talks a lot about money and finances, Old Testament and New Testament. And if you were to remove all of those passages of Scripture, you'd have a very thin Bible. So it's in there for a reason, because I think all of us struggle with that. It's not so much money being bad or time and treasures. It's really the love of that being the root of all evils. But I want to suggest to you, and very quickly turn over to Matthew chapter 4 before we come back to this. And I want to suggest to you that even the three greatest temptations when Jesus began his ministry, I want to suggest to you that those were basically about possessions as well. So I'm going to review the story. You can follow along. Remember, Jesus is out in the desert, and he's hungry, and the devil says to him this, you know, if you are who you say you are, you know, you can just command these stones to turn to bread. You know you could do that, right, Jesus? You could just have what you want, just like that. Jesus says it's not about stuff or physical sustenance. It's about trusting in God to sustain me. You know, I could take a shortcut right now in my life. I see all those things that I want and need. I could go right out and I could use my credit card. I could buy that stuff. Or what they have now is 90 days same as cash. Or I like to say it, 90 days crash and burn. Basically, because you end up paying a lot more at the end. Pay for it later. I could trust God to either give me those resources to provide the things I really need and not just what I want. That causes me my need to rely on him instead of that stuff. See the difference? Devil then takes him to the highest place in the temple. And he says, if you are who you say you are, you know you could just throw yourself off this roof, and the angels, God will send the angels to protect you. And Jesus says this, it's better not to test God. Here's the first takeaway. God blesses me with things, but I choose not to test him with the things he blessed me with. That's what Jesus is saying. And to live foolishly or dangerously or out of my means or by hanging out in stupid places where I could get hurt, like the top of a building. Bad choices used to be just physical places, but now with the internet, these bad and stupid places can take place in the privacy of your own home where nobody knows. The devil then takes him to the highest mountaintop and has Jesus look over all the kingdoms and says, you know what? All of this could be yours if you would do one thing. Just bow down to me and worship me. If you would just admit that you need all this stuff, you would have it all. And Jesus says this, devil, take your place. All of this is not and will not ever be yours. All of this comes from God, and I will choose to serve him and to him alone, to trust him and him alone to sustain me, trust him to provide for me, and to trust him as he blesses me with his resources. Now get this, he blesses me with the stuff that he owns to manage while I'm here on earth. That's the difference. It's spiritual sustenance versus just physical sustenance. Notice what happens after this great trial. In verse 11, it says, the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. After that great trial, after Jesus obeyed, he trusted, and he did not yield, as stressful as that was and how tempting it was to give in, then, after he overcame, the angels came and ministered to him. I don't know if you've ever been through a trial like that where you just needed to make a decision. I'm just going to trust you, God. I'm just going to obey you, and I'm going to endure this because I know you are in control. If you've ever had that peace that passes all understanding that comes after that trial, it's something amazing, isn't it? It doesn't feel so good at the time, but after you've been through that and after you've learned a lesson or God has taught you something. Well, back to our passage. What does it mean storing up your treasures in earth versus heaven? Because we can't take anything with us, right? I was at a gas station sometime this year, and in the parking lot, I was in line paying for the gas, and in line comes this Dodge Viper. Have you ever seen a Dodge Viper? I'm not really big on cars, but when you see a Dodge Viper come into the parking lot, you're kind of like, you know, that's an awesome-looking car. And I was standing next to a seasoned gentleman, and he looked at me and kind of smiled, and he shook his head, and he said this. He goes, well, you know, there's a reason why hearses do not have trailer hitches on them. And I was like, excuse me? You know, it's like, he kind of said something. It's like, he kind of just smiled. It's like, what'd you say? He goes, there are no trailer hitches on hearses. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought you said. And then he goes, because you can't take anything with you. And I thought, that's pretty profound. You know, we have our eyes on the prize and then the stuff, but we can't take any of that stuff with us. See, Jesus is teaching on prayer. And he asks God to give us our daily bread. And really, we're asking for daily bread and not the whole bread factory. See, we have needs. We need shelter. We need food, right? We need a job, we need a home, we need clothing. But here's the first takeaway. And if there's anything that I want you to get from this today, it's just this small sentence. Here's the crux of the matter between earthly and heavenly. God, help me with my needs and not my greeds. That's the whole crux right there. Help me with my needs and not my greeds. Whatever you are given, invest in that. Don't hoard it. Don't give the excuse that you're going to need more first, because if you keep using that excuse that you need more, you'll never have enough, will you? Two stories that I think from my own life are I think kind of appropriate for what we're talking about. First story is that we live in a great older neighborhood in Southwest kind of a, we call it the land time forgot. We live, there's only 10 houses. They're older houses, kind of in the middle of all the other progress going around. We have almost an acre of woods, wooded area, and we have a lot of animals. So it's been kind of an adventure to find encounters with deer, certain encounter with a buck one time who challenged me in the lawnmower, and I didn't realize turkeys could fly. Did you know turkeys could fly? And that's kind of a rude awakening when they fly out of the tree as you're mowing. Something about mowing. These animals didn't like me mowing. But a couple of years ago, I want to show you this trailer in the back. We used to store firewood in this trailer, and a couple of years ago, we got this huge, huge walnut tree back there. And we noticed two squirrels, like, either they got into something, but they, for like weeks, were like running all over the yard. And they were, we'd see them gathering up walnuts, but we're not really sure, you know. But Melissa said, you got to come out here. She looked in the trailer, and I wish I had a picture of the before, but that trailer was three quarters full of walnuts that these two squirrels managed. And it was like, what did two squirrels need that many walnuts for in the first place? And so it's like, were they going to create a distribution center? Were they going to start a little business on their own, you know, or hoard up all the walnuts and say, you know, you can only come to us and it's going to cost you a little bit more? But something interesting happened is that Mr. Woodchuck moves in next to our shed the next season, and didn't think anything of it. But apparently the squirrels, well, they never came back out. And this is what it looked like here just this season. Open up. All of these walnuts that were stored just rotted and pulverized. So they were never used. So whatever, did they go out of business? Did they go bankrupt? Did they get in trouble? Not sure what happened. But this resource was never able to be used because they hoarded it. And something happened. Second story. If you were living in Rochester in the 1990s and would frequent some of the restaurants, especially in the foyers where there were those bubblegum machines, well, I had this vending business. This was called the Mint-O-Matic 2000. This was a dispenser of York peppermint patties, and I was the guy. R&R Express. So nothing like a mint after a meal, right? Nothing like that York peppermint patty after you have a meal. Well, these things were like the vending business. That was the, you know, better than bubble gum. And so, and back then, you didn't have enough, there wasn't enough internet going around to Google things to really check what I was getting into. But first flag, I had to go into, you know, some serious debt in order to buy these machines. But these hold 120 York peppermint patties. So at a quarter piece, do the math. That's $40. Pretty much would empty each week. So I'd have to refill these. I had 20 of these machines. So 2 cents cost of the mint itself, and 3 cents I donated 10% to charity, so the rest was profit. And my original goal to do this business, first of all, I just wanted to get out in the community. I wanted to have a part-time business. I didn't want to make a living at this. But these things were really kicking, and it was really, I just loved being called the mint guy. I was always known as the mint guy. The mint guy's here, and half the people that worked at the restaurants ended up eating half all the mints anyway. They just loved it. But I would check in with my coach from time to time, how things going, and they just, how's it great? And he was like, you know what? I mean, those things are really kicking. You know what you need? More mint machines. And something at that point then clicked between my needs, kind of greed set in. You know, I just wonder if I would have just stayed where I was at. Well, 10 more machines it is. Second and third flag. More debt, first of all. But something interesting happened. Those machines weren't emptying as quickly as the other. In fact, the whole amount of machines weren't emptying as quickly. But you'll notice it was the same time that this 3-in-1 vending machine showed up next to mine. You know, the ones with Skittles and Mike and Ike's and hot tamales? He put them right next to mine. So now we got some competition. So I wasn't making as much money, but something even worse started happening. They started breaking down. I mean, just completely not working. The mechanism wasn't the best. And so it was really disheartening. But, hey, I bought the insurance, right? You know, the insurance that they had me buy, $150 per machine. I can send one back, no questions asked, and replace that for what it originally was, $500 a machine. Well, you understand where this is going. Basically, I was paying for new machines. And eventually I got out of the business, not in the hole, but it was a great experience. But I look back at some of these stories and these adventures that I go through, that God has really turned them into real-life parables for me. And this one particularly is about that lesson. I looked beyond needs and things turned into greeds, and that's when I got into trouble. Jesus is saying invest in heavenly things, things that can have an impact past the investment themselves. Focus on those things that will go beyond today and meeting your immediate needs. See, that's self-reliance. If you're only focusing on your immediate needs, that's self-reliance. Do you need God for that? And then we wonder why we struggle or why we're in another mess. Jesus taught in parables. And I love to think at times that Jesus would teach these parables. And it's told that sometimes he would just walk away after telling this story, kind of that dropping the mic moment. You know, he's like, he tells this parable, drops his mic, and then leaves the room. And to the disciples going, what was he talking about, you know? But yet, eventually, then they start seeing what he's talking about with the kingdom. Well, there's a great parable in Matthew 25, if you want to turn to that. And we're going to look at that. I'm just going to read it in its entirety. I'm just going to talk a little bit about it at the end. But I want you to take this parable home with you this week and to see where that dropping the mic moment is for you, to see if you are one of these people that Jesus is talking about, and to ask him to help you with that. So Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven once again. And he says this, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Important. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from the trip and called them to give an account of how they had used this money, his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I now will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant that was given 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, well, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate, and I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops that I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, it will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's pretty harsh. Here's takeaway 2. You can be just as greedy with very little, just as much as you can with a lot. Especially if you view God like this last guy. Did you catch this? I knew, Master, you were harsh. I know, God, you're harsh. You're unreasonable. I mean, you're not the one doing the work down here. We are. We all are going to be held accountable with whatever God has given us, big or little. Are we talking about money only? Absolutely not. How about your talents and your skills and your gifts God has blessed you with? How about just plain time invested in people? people that would benefit from your set of skills and would benefit from your time that will impact them probably for years to come if you would just take the time to do so? Or were you like this guy, squat on and hoard the treasure for your own sake, for your survival, and come up with excuses to protect it? Or even according to the parable, this guy thought he was doing the master a favor, wasn't he? God, I was being a good steward with what you gave me. I just was afraid somebody was going to take it, so I buried it. I mean, it's for you. See, investing wisely in people, in things, and activities can have a tremendous impact and can and will multiply after the initial gift themselves. Here's what I've learned. Whatever you are given or blessed with, past your needs, past the needs that you have, invest some of that in others. God gives each of us stuff, time, talents, and treasures to invest. We can choose two things. We either invest in what he's given us in the heavenly, things that will impact on the eternal, on someone's eternity, or squander it on ourselves and the temporary. That's what earthly treasures are. Stuff that gives way to moths and will never, ever be able to be used. That's called short-sightedness. Proverbs 10:2 says, "Tainted wealth, ill-gotten wealth," is another translation, "has no lasting value, but right living can save your life." So each time when I get the opportunity to preach, I pray that I always get to get very practical with what we're learning. Find ways for us to put into practice what we learned. Boy, have I got some ways for us to invest in the heavenly today. Talk about a coincidence. Wink, wink. First things we talk about all the time, and then I'm going to share a new one with you today that we're really excited about. But first of all, Friendship Place. Right in our own neighborhood, over by the Red Cross, is an after-school mentoring program. We would love to be able to help them finish their school year strong. They could always use some after-school help. Just contact me and we'll get you set up with that. Just spend an hour and a half or so with these kids. They get a meal, but you help them with their homework. But we're going to, especially this summer, recruit for the new year, the new school year. We really want to fill that place with Hope Summit volunteers. It's right in our own neighborhood, so look for ways to help with that. But this summer, they always have summer programs, and we're excited that we're going to participate in one of their summer camps. I volunteered us to participate in their summer camp July 11th through 15th, 2 hours a day in the afternoon, 1 to 3 p.m., and they just need volunteers to help with their program that's already set up. The theme this year is the Olympics, since the Summer Olympics are coming, and the theme is, you know, teamwork, working together for a common goal. You know, all of these topics really help these kids who are at risk already with being hit upside the head with what the world's going to dish out to them. And so they're just asking for us to come alongside and be part of their programming. But I also had an ulterior motive, and I asked Aisha if we could do this, is that our kids' camp is about two or three weeks after this. So this would be a great recruiting tool we're going to be allowed to do, to shamelessly plug kids' camp right at Friendship Place. Could you imagine 40 or 50 more kids from the neighborhood coming to kids' camp to hear about Jesus, to see Jesus lived and loved and glorified? That's why we're doing this, and I'm excited about it. So I'll look for more information about that. Talk about heavenly investments, a chance to plant seeds of hope that we all know. We know who our hope is in, right? These kids deserve that chance. Damascus Way, you hear us talk about this often. Guys, this is for you. On Monday night, they have a Bible study mentor program. And as they get new clients that come in, they're looking for people to come to this Bible study. It takes about an hour and a half. And then all they're asking for you to do during that week for about an hour is to go out for coffee, spend some one-on-one just to get to know them. These guys have come through a lot and just want a second chance. And this is a great way to kind of come alongside them and help them do that very same thing. If you're interested in that, again, there's going to be an opportunity for you to fill out that card and let me know. If you can help with that. Some little time, little talent, little treasure will go a long way with these guys. I really believe that. Now I'm really excited to be able to launch something today. We have been talking about your one life. Who is that one life, that person in your life that you know that is far from God or needs to know who Jesus is? And we've been asking you to pray for that person and finding ways for you, through the help of friends and family, whatever, that they in some way, through your prayers and through your influence, will come to know who Jesus is. A couple weeks ago when we had the prayer night here on Thursday night, we got to take all of our one lives, the ones that we've been praying for, and we laid them before the cross and gave them to God. And then this next season, we're going to be praying for these. And some of us prayed for even more one lives, to God to continue to bring those. And you may not even know who your one life is yet, but to pray that God will show you who that person is. We're talking about one lives here, but now we're looking for ways to bless those one lives or family members or friends of these one lives. Is there some way that we can bless them? And we found a great way. We'll put the logo up here. It's called One for One. This is going to be a great opportunity for us to help the one lives in our community $1 at a time, week to week. All of us have spare change. And all we ask for is you gather that spare change every week. When it accumulates to $1 or $2, there's a bank in the back. I'll talk about that. And we just ask you to give to that. And the elders and leadership, we want to make this very clear. This is not to meet needs inside our congregation. We have a benevolence ministry that takes care of that. We try to address those situations as they come, each one. But this is something outside that. The influence that we can have with those one lives in our community, $1 at a time. Who do you know that has immediate need like that? We're going to ask suggestions from you. Who do you know that we can help as a congregation? We have an email address that's going to be set up for that, and it's called oneforone@hopesummitchurch.com. You might want to write that down, because we're looking for suggestions from you. Do you know somebody in the community? Do you know a friend somewhere? It doesn't have to be in Rochester either, that we can bless with. If we do the math, we got about 300 adults that attend on a Sunday morning. If you each gave $1, that's about $300 per week. That can add up. That's, you know, $400 or $500, $600 that we could be giving. We're going to bless these folks every 2 weeks. So we're going to change the need every 2 weeks. But here's what I want to challenge us to do, and it's something, a lot of churches do this, but we're going to do something different. We're going to get our kids involved. If you tell your kids that we're going to be gathering up change, who's going to be reminding you, Dad or Mom, do you have change? So we want to encourage you to maybe make your own bank. Back at the offering box back there, we have labels, and you can just create your own bank that you can take home, and your spare change. This is my spare change that I find usually in the dryer or other places. But I just start to collect that, and then I can buy new gadgets. That was my original goal. But now it's going to be my one for one. So out of this, I'm going to be bringing my offering each week and set in the back. I want to challenge you to do the same as well. Manny and I will keep you updated through the announcements of how things are going, what we're able to raise, and who the next family or person is that we're going to be doing. And you can start today. Take your dollar bills or quarters or whatever and just leave them at the back. And we're probably going to take 2 or 3 weeks for this, since this is the first initial start. But I have the story for you. This is the family who we're going to bless immediately. Some good friends in our church have some great friends that just had a little baby girl about 4 weeks ago. And she was born with Down syndrome. And sometimes physical anomalies come into that play as well, especially heart issues. And this little baby was rushed to Mayo immediately after birth. And Mom's been by her side the whole time. Dad's been going back and forth. And so the cost of housing in Rochester here, there's a lot of great hotels and stuff, but that starts adding up. So we just want to maybe bless them with, you know, 1, 2, 3 nights. It's not going to make it maybe a huge difference, but I think it'll go a long way with letting this family know that we care about them because of their friends here at our church shared that need. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to surprise them with the gift in about 3 weeks that maybe help cover maybe a week stay for Mom. So we encourage you to drop that dollar bill in the back, and we'll keep you updated. But here's the thing. Maybe you're struggling with this very issue that we're talking about today. Maybe you have a hard time with focusing on your needs versus what can easily become greeds. Well, pray that prayer this week. Help me know the difference, God. It's so easy to get snared up with what we really think we need, and it's really what we want. And God has the answer. Just pray that prayer this week. Did you know, though, that we could become just as greedy with our time and our talents? Quality me time, quality us time, quality family time, I really think has become the new idol in our American churches. We've become so protective of our time that this is the idol that we bow down to in our culture. I understand activities that we do, but you ask pastors and churches across the whole country in America, what's the thing they struggle with? Well, Sunday has become invaded with needs first, then church. It used to be that wasn't an option, right? But there's every activity being scheduled on Sunday now, and it demands their time, or that's the only time you have. We understand that. Vacations, all those things happen. But that has become an idol in our culture, giving God our leftovers. So it's so easy to be protective of that time or even to hoard it like the parable said, and not trusting in the Master in giving us more so that we can give more. Here are some practical ways that we talked about today to put our trust in God. Trusting Him to help us with the resources first that He's blessed us with and given us the ability and privilege to manage. Now to give back, to invest in the heavenly, not just the temporary. Again, I want you to go home and read that parable of the treasure again and ask God and trust God to take you to the next level. To really know that He can and He will supply all of your needs. You just need to ask Him for the strength to overcome the greed side of that stuff. And trust Him to bless you so that you can bless someone else even more. We're going to take an offering here. And here's my challenge to you about this time that we have the privilege to participate in. This is a separate issue. What we're talking about today is investing the treasure, your time and treasure, in the bounty, what God has blessed you with beyond your needs. This is a separate issue that we're going to be participating in today if you're a member or attend here regularly. A couple years ago, Melissa and I got to attend the Financial Peace class that we offer here that Kevin White started. How many have taken that Financial Peace? Raise your hand. This is like a lot of people in the first service too. Pretty transforming stuff, right? But if you're like me, I need some brushing up on some things that we, you know, kind of get out of hand. But one of the things that we learned about giving our offering is that what we give for our tithe is something that we've set aside in the first fruits. It comes off right off the top of our income. We made that decision. It actually comes out electronically. So we don't even look at it. It's not even negotiable anymore. That's the decision we've made, but that's really transformed with how we give. Is that now we're able to bless others and be able to take what God has given us in the bounty to invest even more. And I want to challenge you to think about that. Maybe that's something that you're struggling with, is that that's kind of an option how much you give based on what you have or what expenses took place. You know, this week, we did that very early in our age. I was terrible managing the money, but that became one excuse after another why just don't have enough this week, God. So I want to challenge you that as we continue this series. And we're going to be offering Financial Peace class very shortly. I don't have the dates today yet, but look for more information about that. And it's a great, I think it's, is it 8 weeks now or 10 weeks? I think it's down to 8 weeks. And it'll transform with how you view finances. Okay. What are you investing in? Do you have a one life? Who are you investing in? Jesus said this in verse 21, very quickly. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That's the crux of the matter. It's really about our heart and where our heart is. And Jeff's going to talk about that next week as we continue this thought. It really is a heart issue. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the reminder in your word. It's so easy to get involved with things that that we think we need, and it's so tempting. And Lord, just help us to discern what needs are versus greeds, to understand the two, and how much more you can work through us if we just trust you with all the things that you've given us. Bless the gift and the giver here this morning. It's through your Son we pray. Amen.